There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hitting in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad up to do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Gaming. This is your MAA 1, Marvel Avengers Alliance 1 show, episode, dealio, however you want to say
it. Original formula.
There you go. Original Coke is what this is.
Exactly. Classic. FTH classic.
I am Dr. Epic Boss McFall, and that is Mello Ibbett over there.
Ooh, yes.
I don't know why I got Dr. Pepper and you got Mellow Yellow, but that's how it flows.
Great, we're great. Well, if it's yellow, let it, or if it's, yeah.
I don't know where you're going.
Hey, let's talk about your headlines today. We're going to talk about the Death Locket covert ops that just ended a little bit ago. We're going to talk about an upcoming Civil War tease that we got. Blue Marvel coming to MAA1, as well as the Civil War Spec Ops and a new alt for Black Panther. All this and more coming up. But before we get to that, Charles, what can people spend their little bars of gold that maybe they earned from buying their mother flowers using 1-800-Flowers.com? What can they buy with that gold?
Well, we don't have moms, so I don't buy that stuff.
No.
So you've got some basic AI. So it's all the standard stuff. Nothing special on sale. However, I made the notes for something you can't buy. As part of the new daily roulette, there is a density phase array. It's a new little quick action handheld weapon. We've seen these before with the, excuse me, I'm still getting over some sinusy allergy stuff. Didn't lose my voice this time, but I still have a little cough going on. Anyway, we've seen these weapons before with tactician boost, infiltrator boost. They do something. It's very much that type of weapon. This one is the density phase array is a quick action. It gives you density shift for one turn, which means you avoid the next attack, and it protects. You get protect for two turns, I think it is. And I believe it can be used on any one thing. I didn't notice if it said self or not, to be honest. I don't know how to pull up the relay.
Target self.
Target self. Okay, so it's only for yourself. Which, yes. How do you feel about those things? I'm not sure I really care about weapons that will just boost me really quick. I don't know. My mindset
depends on what the thing is. The protect is nice if you're if you've got like a suit or an EISO that takes advantage of that. That aspect of it isn't bad. This is actually something that was according to the Wikia, something that was available as part of Spec Ops 8 as Mission 1 boss drop. According to the Wikia, this is an old one.
Wow. Apparently. I don't understand that.
Okay. Phase array, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is on the daily roulette. So I don't know if that means it's, if it's something they're just bringing back temporarily as kind of like a little placeholder while we wait for the next spec ops. Could be, right?
Yeah. We know it's coming soon. And apparently there is a hero sale going on. I totally skipped the ad because it didn't catch my eye, right. But it's 45% to 50% off, and it applies to nobody I need, which would be Kraven. So that's So apparently there are some heroes on sale up to 50% off. I don't know who they are because I can't see it. So there's that.
Right. Well, hopefully Deathlock gets one of them because we'll talk about that when we get to headlines. Before we get to headlines, though, let's talk really quickly about another thing that arrived today. Well, arrived for me yesterday, I believe it was, and that is Loot Crate.
Yes.
My quest box arrived, and it's full of cool stuff, like a horn of plenty that I can drink out of, nice. A really cool labyrinth t-shirt with David Bowie. Wow. You remind me of the Babe.
Yeah.
Should I have said spoilers, by the way? Is this spoilers?
Yeah, this is a little spoiler. If you haven't gotten your Loot Crate box yet, this is a little spoiler.
It came in Saturday, so it's like 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, all right, spoiler. I won't talk about any of the other things in there. But it's really cool, and it's a great Loot Crate. And you can get your own really cool Loot Crate by signing up for Loot Crate using the Giant Size Team Up code. Giant Size Team Up, by the way, the whole Umbrella Network, no Resident Evil reference there, the whole Umbrella Network that From the Helicarrier is part of. And you want to use that code when you sign up, because not only does it give you a sweet ass discount, it also gives a little bit of a kickback to us. It helps us out. And isn't helping us kind of really the reason you want to do stuff? Of course it is. Charles, yes. How can people help us and help themselves to some cool geeky items all at the same time?
You go over to lootcrate.com/specialty crates. That's actually not the right link. That's the one to get the aliens crate. It's just right in front of my face. Go to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. Is where you will get that to help us out. And then if you use code Giant Size Team Up, no D, SIZE, Giant Size Team Up as one word for your code, you'll get a $3 discount on any of the crates that you order. So we've got the Firefly crate, as I started to talk about, the Aliens crate as well, launches today.
Yes.
Right? Today's the 26th.
Today is the 26th.
Happy yep. Aliens Crate Day, everybody.
Right.
So as Ibbett just told you, tons of cool stuff in the boxes. You know, every once in a while, I am not a part of any box right now, and Loot Crate was definitely one of my favorites. And I do miss stuff. When you pulled out a David Bowie shirt, I'm like, oh, how did I miss that? I missed the good stuff, you know, or the stuff that really makes me go, oh. So there you go, $45 plus in every box. You know what? If you're going to get any box, get this one, lootcrate.com.
By the way, do you know why today is Alien Day? Because it's not just Alien Day with Loot Crate. It's Alien Day everywhere.
So would this happen to be in the movie where they first discover aliens or something like that? Or when the movie launched?
Sort of. In the first movie, the planet that they go to is LV-426. That planet, and it's a planet they go to obviously with aliens and not really for Alien 3, obviously, because that's the prison planet, but for Alien and Aliens, the planet is LV-426. So that's why today is Alien Day.
Nice. Game over, man.
That's right. Oh, Hicks. Or not Hicks. Hudson. Oh, Hudson.
Boson? Higgs boson? No.
That's no. No, no. Don't even. Don't go there.
You don't, bro. Do you even science, bro?
All right. Let's talk about our headlines today. This is like right off the presses. MA Insiders has been tweeting about the next edition, the next hero edition to the game. It's Blue Marvel, which both Charles and I had to look up. We're not... Not super familiar with Blue Marvel. However, it's a Marvel character. He is, you know, well, you've got the,
I've got it here.
Why don't you talk about it?
He debuted in Adam: Legend of the Blue Marvel #1.
Adams:
Yep. November 2008 was his debut, and he is a cosmic character. Created by actor-writer Kevin Grivio. It sounds like a French name. Okay. Who actually conceived this character as a child, apparently, which is kind of a little story. So he did a 5-issue run there in 2008, and then a different version later appeared briefly in a What If Secret Invasion #1 in February 2010. Then 2013, he appeared as part of Luke Cage's new team of superheroes during the Infinity crossover in the Marvel Now relaunch of the Mighty Avengers as well. And there's this big backstory about how he was a veteran of the Korean War and a Marine Corps veteran with 2 Silver Stars and this and that and the other. And it sounds like they actually did an interesting job. It's set back in 1962. Adam received, that's his name apparently, is Adam, mm-hmm. A-D-A-M. Adam received a Presidential Medal of Freedom from President John F. Kennedy. But on that day, the president asked him to retire because the public discovered that he was African-American. And this is 1962, and there's the race thing going on and everything else, you know, the turmoil that was then. So they actually wrote a story about what if there was a black superhero that could save the universe, but he was black. So they definitely, he steps down to help ease tensions and this and that and the other. He comes back. Excuse me. He comes back later on with the Avengers, and ultimately he's appeared most recently at the end of Infinity storyline, and then the Secret Wars during the last days part of the Secret War storyline, which I haven't read, so I can't spoil. But he's seen with the Mighty Avengers there, where they fight somebody. That sounds like a spoiler that I don't want to throw out there. And so he's been around. He's definitely been in things. He has the powers that allowed him to fight the Sentry, one of the most powerful beings on Earth. He has superhuman strength, superhuman speed and reflexes, superhuman stamina. You're welcome, ladies. Flight, superhuman senses, enhanced mental. He's Superman. He's Black right. Superman. I mean, enhanced mental perception, invulnerability, regeneration, healing factor, energy generation, molecule manipulation, which is actually, now that sounds really cool. And that's the cosmic power, and bioluminescence. So there was a thing I read here, I skipped over, that said in the Fear Itself storyline, he was exploring. It's like, I read the Fear Itself storyline for panel by panel, and I pretty much read every book. I don't remember him appearing in that at all, but that's his basic background. He's Black Superman with some cosmic energy. I'm not trying to put it out. I'm just saying Marvel, DC, they do this
Muhammad
stuff.
Muhammad Ali is Black Superman.
Yeah, there you go. I'll give you that. That's a real life Black Superman right there.
Right.
But they specifically made him African-American because the deal with that storyline of what if a hero was in this time period of being racist and huge turmoil. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with them. And it brings up that idea of when they launch new characters you've never heard of in the game, do we want to go, this is a character that's worthless or we've never heard of it? Or do you want to go and research the story and maybe go read Atom, Legend of the Blue Marvel number 1 through 5?
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. I think that's definitely the latter. Checking out the back history on this and reading some of his appearances. What's really cool about this, though, you glossed over a little bit, but the fact that his, his big battle in 2010 or not 2010, but in his premiere, Legend of Blue, 2008, there we go, allowed him to fight the Sentry. Does that mean that we might see the Sentry in MA1, which would be really cool?
I've been asking for that one for a while.
Yeah.
Right. I want Sentry and then give me Rhino in the lot box and then I can just drop the mic and be done with the game. I'm okay after that.
Right. That would be really cool. If this is like a path that they are going down to bring the Sentry into the game. It's funny, there's so much controversy over the Sentry. People either love him or hate him because they did this whole made up fictional backstory with him and came up with this whole history that never, obviously has to gel with what was previously in Marvel Comics, but introducing a character like that has quote unquote been around for this long.
Yeah.
And then saying, yeah, you just never heard of him in regular Marvel comics.
Well, he stepped down. That was the thing. That was the story, right? He stepped down. Right. So he kind of went Incredibles on us, right? I guess he became a normal human. Or maybe he flew off somewhere into space. I haven't read it. Right. I don't know. But yeah, apparently he did the whole hidden powers kind of guy thing for a long time.
Exactly. So, you know what? I'm all for it. Let's see him. And I think based on the description here of all of his powers, I'd say Bruiser for sure. Superhuman strength, stamina, superhuman senses, invulnerability, healing factor. I'm guessing Bruiser on this, but plus he's blue. Come on. I mean, blue. He's blue Marvel.
Blue,
might as well be the class whose base color is blue. So I guess we'll see. We'll see how this gets introduced.
He's totally going to be an infiltrator now.
Right. But it's interesting that they're pulling in a character like Blue Marvel, presumably for the Civil War storyline.
He's not in that. I don't know if he's going to be in the movie. He might be in the movie.
Have you seen Civil War? No, you haven't.
I don't know. Did you go over to Jerry's house last week and watch it with him?
No, I wish I could have.
Who's Jerry that we're talking about?
Oh, he's Jerry Conway. He's the creator of characters like Punisher and Firestorm for DC Comics. He's the guy who killed Gwen Stacy. And why are we talking about him like that? Because we did a show with him for Breaking the Panel. This is, you know, we've done a lot of great shows. Mike Zapsik was great. The Hogwarts thing was great. This is up there with it as one of my favorite shows because we get to interview one of the legends of Marvel Comics, a guy who's, you know, stock for Jerry Conway has never been higher, right? There was the, like I said, Punisher was just in Daredevil. Firestorm is killing it on Legends of Tomorrow. Killer Croc is going to be in Suicide Squad.
Yes.
So there's so much stuff going on right now that Jerry Conway, while not a household name, is a name you should be familiar with for all the stuff he contributed to current Marvel and DC programming and movies. So definitely check it out.
And that episode is up right now, giantsizeteamup.com/breakingthepanel. You can subscribe on iTunes and it is on Blog Talk Radio. I love Chris came up with a great title. Something creative, this Conway comes. That's very nice.
Yeah, so listen to this episode of From the Helicarrier. But once you're done, go check out that episode of Breaking the Panel. Boy, some great insight and what it was like working at Marvel in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee and you'll even find out what made his daughter punch him in a movie theater.
Yes.
Anyway, so check that out. It's Breaking the Panel. Back to this though.
Yes.
If Blue Marvel means we get Sentry, that's fantastic. I'm all for it. But the fact that it's not a character we know about in the movie, in the Civil War movie, is surprising when we know that Agent 13,
yes,
is in the movie.
She was in Civil War Winter Soldier. Captain America Winter Soldier.
Right.
And there's rumor that she is supposed to be in Civil War.
Played by the lovely Emily Vandekamp. Is it Vandekamp like the groceries?
Yeah, I guess so.
Just Emily Vandekamp. But she's she was on Everwood. She was on Revenge. But seeing Sharon Carter, I mean, the fact that she's going to be in Civil War and we don't yet have her as a playable character, I thought for sure she was a go for MA as a Spec Ops character. It just seemed like the natural thing because we've got every other character that they've shown us in previews and stuff. Every other character we've already got. And so this one was a surprise that that their Spec Ops reveal was not Sharon Carter. We'll see though. Who knows? Maybe he's a lockbox character and
But he's not a bad guy.
Neither was Hyperion, really. I mean, neither was the version of Hyperion.
That's true. Okay, yeah.
We get the good Hyperion, not the evil looking evil.
Which everybody only wants to play the negative Hyperion, if you will. I don't know.
Sure. Anti-Hyperion. Yeah.
So the tweets are interesting. It says, "Don't feel blue. War is coming to #MAA1 soon, trademark." Well, maybe a little blue, but he's Marvel. And then the next one they release is the artwork that looks really good by Duran Hurlbut. I'll say it right in a second. And then they follow up with just a few minutes. Well, now it's about an hour ago. The elements of surprise is a bonus in War. #MAA1, but let's be civil about it. Right. So we're obviously getting Civil War in MAA1. I'm pretty sure we're getting Civil War in MAA2. I know for a fact we're getting it in Contest of Champions.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how far across the span it
goes. The splash screen has already been shown for MAA2, and that one does show Sharon Carter, and I think it shows Falcon as well. So people are saying that they're the next two characters that are likely added to that. But
that you won't be able to get.
We'll talk more about MAA2 on From the Helicarrier of the Deuce. But do you want to read into that tweet? It always feels like there's always something additional. right? Yeah. The element of surprise is a bonus in war, but let's be civil about it. So obviously Civil War, we can take those chunks out of there.
Since war and civil is both capitalized.
Right. The element of surprise is a bonus. So what, is there a character that kind of ties in with the element of surprise?
That could be
a bonus character?
Oh, is it, crap. No, they might be doing a part. They might be teasing the storyline because there is a twist in the comics towards the end, a betrayal of a team, that plays in later. I can almost pinpoint the character in my mind, and I can't quite put a pin in it, but there was somebody planted on somebody else's team. They're basically plants on both teams, but then it's this thing. It's a thing. That might be part of it because Tony Stark was taken by surprise quite majorly by this betrayal.
Okay. So, well, interesting. So that's a possibility right there. So
now something else interesting. We've seen the trailers for Civil War. In the comics, at first, Black Panther was neutral. It was this whole Wakanda thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he gets drugged into the war by Tony in a bad way. He ends up helping out Cap for a little bit because Tony Stark's using the, it's not Netherworld. What's the prison in the other universe?
The Raft or the Vault?
The Vault. What's the universe?
The Negative Zone.
Thank you. Yeah. Whatever that is, that prison in the Negative Zone. They're using that to keep the heroes that they capture in the war locked up there, right? And the Black Panther helps them break into that prison. I don't believe they're going to use the prison in this movie, but Black Panther is staunchly on Iron Man's side in this movie, which I'm very curious to see how they're going to do that because it totally was the opposite in the comics. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Just reading through comments on the MA Insider's tweet to see if anybody else is guessing things about the element of surprise. Nothing really. I mean, people are saying Crossbones, Silver Surfer, Sasquatch.
Crossbones is in the movie, so that's a possibility.
Oh, well, and he does operate off the element of surprise, so.
Yeah.
Possible. They could just be, you know, it'll be a surprise when they release it. Instead of saying soon, TM.
Well, right? I was shocked for a second seeing that they actually put a date on something. It's like, oh no, it's just a promotional thing. Right. There's this artist who does this body paint and she looks like she's a character in the game. I mean, it's crazy sick how awesome she is with the paint and how she uses shading to give you dimensions. And it looks like she's a cartoon character in real life. She's actually going to be doing an MAA2 character in real life coming up on the 29th. So if you follow their Twitter, the link's there. But that was when they put a date on. I was like, oh, the 29th, and they use this shaded out symbol that's obviously Captain America and Iron Man as a splash page for Avengers Alliance 2. Yeah, the silhouettes. I'm like, oh, we're going to get it. No, they're just doing a promotional thing on 429. Never mind. Which is cool, but it's not anything to actually do with the game.
Right. So cool. I guess, you know, this is one of those things where we'll see what it means. It could mean, like you said, it could mean that they're going to be releasing Spec Ops sooner than we expect, which would be great. Like if, the next couple days. I think it's been enough time since the last Spec Ops ended, week and a half, right?
Something like that, yeah. You know, it's weird. Is when we're in it, we're getting bombarded. I'm like, ah. You know, let's slow it down. Let's wait. Soon as Spec Ops ended and then PvP ended, it's like,
whew. Right. A little breather.
Yeah.
And guess who let the stupid who forgot about the stupid time expiring on Deathlocket and
Klotz. It was Paul Klotz who forgot.
Klotz. Yes, Paul Klotz didn't pay attention. April 23rd, he completed the. He bought a couple more, like four more of the VK machines with gold, and then on the morning of the 23rd, he forgot about it. He started the research, completed its 4 hours, and got all that done. But unfortunately, Deathlocket's still locked. So. Real good, Brian. Well done, man. Just a little reminder that those expiration dates are at midnight the day before. At 12:01 a.m. of the date of the expiration is when that stuff ends. So pay attention to that. Don't be like me.
So, you know, we plea to the RNGesus that is over at Playdom to just reach into Ibbitt's account and flip the little switch. He did it.
I'm unlocked her. I spent a little money, bought a little gold. I'm a little help. I'm a little something for the effort.
There you go. I ended up using 9 gold, I think, total to get the pieces I needed and ended up getting Death Locket, I guess, a day or two before she locked out.
Right.
I haven't really played. I played with her a little bit because, of course, you have to with the simulations.
Yeah.
And she's a learnable character, which to me means you're going to have to really figure out how this plays. It's not just a click, smash, go character. It's
right.
One quick action sets up these set of debuffs that she can put on people. The other quick action sets up a whole different thing. It also changes a follow-up versus a protect or something like that. You just have to pay attention and jump back and forth, much like Vision or Omega Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Who right. She's not a brute force character. Yeah.
Yeah. But she kind of can be. You know, we saw that when she was the boss. She definitely can be a brute force character. And that's what kind of threw me off about her is how much she just pounded my teams into the ground. And then I get anyway, oh, wait, the AI is actually smarter than me on this one? That makes me feel bad.
Right. So, you know, imagine that at some point Death Locket will be purchasable or something. So,
yeah.
Yeah, my own fault. I'm fine. I own up to it. It's all on me, and I'm totally on that. But I did get Cloak and Dagger, and I'm really, really
nice.
Excited about these guys. I've been playing, just doing PvE stuff with them. I took advantage of the fact that that I've got a little bit more free game time now, and I'll talk about why that is in a minute, to finish up Chapter 10 so I can finally unlock Angrier. Yeah, I'll admit it. I waited too long to finish Chapter 10, and so, of course, I'm suffering the consequences of all that delay. But in any case, working on Chapter 10 right now. Now, why do I have all this extra time? And by the way, where is that From the Helicarrier extra credit show that was going to focus on Marvel Avengers Academy? Well, that's related. I just felt like Avengers Academy was work. It felt like work. I had to log in there. I had to collect stuff and send people on missions. And then this whole thing with the Guardians of the Galaxy, where they kept upping the difficulty and saying, well, if you want to bypass this difficulty, you could always spend some money and get some shards.
Yeah, that's bad marketing.
It really is. You've got to feel like, you know, you've got two kinds of players in a game like that. You've got a set of players that have a lot of time but don't have a lot of money and just want to kind of work through everything and log into the game several times a day and do their deal and all that stuff. And then you've got the players who just want to throw money at it and maybe log in once a day. And I know there are different, you know, it's not black and white. There are different shades of gray in there. But about 50 shades. for this game, it just felt like there was very little stuff you could do to get the Guardians of the Galaxy without spending money. And that was the point at which I said, I'm done. I moved the app into a folder on my iPad called Done with an exclamation point. There's a few games in there. Stuff that I played for a while and still have some data saved. I don't want to delete the data. I mean, I can't imagine what's going to want to make me come back to Civil War, but come back to Avengers Academy, which is doing a Civil War thing. But I left it on there, but I doubt I'm going back in there. So.
Yeah, you know, I did Contest of Champions for a while. I went, it's just not really my thing. It's a, for lack of better terms, it's a button masher. It's a fighting game. There's no real, to the fight itself, there's no real style. There's a little bit of style, but not much. But I've been watching commercials for it. I do all these different hosting gigs, and I see the TVs on. I see Deadpool doing this great thing where he pauses the game, like in the game itself. I know it's just commercials, not actually what he does. But he pauses. He's on his phone, and while he's walking around the character, he like shoots him in the back of the head and stuff. I mean, he's like, I know it's a commercial, but you hooked me. You hooked me. It was fun. I re-downloaded it. I've been playing it some. They've made lots of improvements to the whole you get everything through roulette thing. And they've definitely upped their game there as far as duplicates and everything else. It'll hook. Sometimes something will hook you back in, and then now I'm kind of getting back to the I don't know that I care anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, even if I had Deadpool, it's like, yeah, but what would that change in the game? It's still ultimately this thing that doesn't feed my need to game.
Yeah,
you know, whereas MAA 1 and 2 does, so.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Still enjoying the crap out of MAA 2, and of course my first love is still MAA 1.
Yeah. And they're just now getting it right to incentivize gold buying. Right. For a while, it felt like you needed it. There was some harshness you couldn't get past. Mm-hmm. They, over the years, have tweaked that to where if you just spend time in a spec ops, you will get past everything and get the character.
Right.
So then they I think they're finding a better balance of money of where they've made these weapons on the gold sales really good. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, we had a gold purchase sale here this past weekend, and there was a weapon in that for the first time I saw people going, nah, let's pass on that, but up until then it's been buy it,
right?
And yeah, that's you do,
like Lantern of Doom, wasn't that one?
Yes, that was if you purchased 50 gold or 100, you'd get the Lantern of Doom,
right? There have been quite a few like that where it's like, oh man, you got to get it. Mm-hmm. What was the one called this time?
It was called Charles Can't Afford It, so I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a gun of sorts that did multitask. The longer you didn't use it, the more things.
Infernal Blazer.
Well, that just sounds like a old man white club.
it's what I wear to the lodge meeting. My Infernal Blazer. it is a hungering flame. Okay, so it is deals extra damage on critical hits. Blah blah blah. It's a ranged one enemy attack. With Hungering Flames gains additional functionality each round not used in combat. So the longer, like you were saying, the longer you wait to use it, the better. You gain Soul Fire, Boon Buster, Infernal Fury, and then Quench. So if you can manage to go four rounds without using this thing, I imagine it beefs itself up pretty well. When you do use it, you cause Unholy, so you gain Ethereal Strike. You lose 10% of your current health each turn. If you're below 50% health, all damage dealt is increased by 25%. If you're below 50% health at the beginning of a turn, you receive magic reduction. So this is a trade health for possibly a big boom at the end kind of thing.
Yeah. And so I'm very curious to see who got it and how that's going to work out for them.
Well, you know, I got it.
I know, but I'm sure you probably haven't played with it yet.
I am not even equipped, and that's how I couldn't remember. I was like, oh yeah, it did buy gold. What the heck was the thing I got with that? I'm equipping it now. I'm just curious.
Yeah. So, but the whole point is I feel like Playdom finally found that nice medium ground of incentivizing purchasing gold, spending actual cash in the game, versus what you're talking about with Academy. Of you, of all people, when you start complaining, you don't complain about much. And when it's there, it's a problem. And you're telling me that they kept ramping it up and changing how you get the gardens. And it's like, no, man, you don't. It's not a bait and switch thing. You don't hook people in and go, oh, now we've got you. We're going to change this because we know you really want these characters. And, you know, I thought what they were doing originally with, hey, if you want to unlock Hulk early, because you unlock him at like level 26, if you want to jump into him now, here, buy something. And you did. You enjoyed it. I considered it myself when I was playing. That's incentivization. When you lock it behind a paywall, which Playdom felt like they did early on in the first 2 years or so of this game, there was a lot of complaints about you can't, if you don't pay to play, you can't win and those kind of things. And that was not their intent, obviously, because they've worked hard to change that. Whereas with MAA 2, there's almost zero incentivization to buy gold. There's zero need to spend money other than you want to support the game. And I think that will change, but in a good way. It'll be, hey, here's this awesome thing you can get if you do purchase some gold. You know, and that's what I'm waiting on, honestly, in MAA 2 is just going, give me a good reason. Because right now I earn enough gold to get what I need out of this game. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they just don't get it. And then Playdom gets it. Tiny Co, I think, just had some dollar signs in their eyes and said, all right, we've got them hooked in right now with three of the Guardians of the Galaxy. How can we make sure they really feel like they need to complete the collection? So I need to turn off, you know what I need to do is turn off notifications on my iPad, because I keep getting messages like, hey, your heroes need you. Yeah. Come back to the Academy. They really miss you. You better come back. I'm not
going to
do it. Nope.
Maybe, because we don't know anything. We don't know very much about the company that makes that game. And quite possibly their whole business model could be a turn and burn. Mm-hmm. It could be, we know we're going to get a big audience for this amount of time. Then after that, nobody's going to want to play this. We'll move on to our next project. So let's hook as much as we can in the process.
Sure.
I don't know.
No, totally makes sense. All right. So that said, let's look at what are we looking at here? We got some audio that we want to talk about, that we want to play, right?
Oh, we're to the audio now. All right.
I think so. I don't think we've done
there's
anything else.
A Spartan shout out. We'll read that in the email later. But Agent Ashton, this is Sparta.
Nice.
So there's that. There was something about the movie I was going to ask you if you're excited about, but I've lost it.
The answer would be yes. Yeah. There's nothing about Captain America Civil War that I'm not excited about.
I think I'm actually, because I've been excited for so long about the movie, that I'm actually more excited about what will be coming in the games.
You know, really?
Because you never know if somebody's going to participate. We've theorized they're going to participate. Now we see Black Panther's getting a new alt. What's it going to do? Mm-hmm. Who else is getting a new alt? Ooh, we get a new hero. You know, what's the story going to be? We've talked about how the split team story would be great here. So that's got me, because it's new. That's all. It's new. Mm-hmm. It's got me excited.
Shiny.
Yeah. that's how I like to roll, too. So I'm going to try to do Kingfisher first, because he is not him, but the way I have to play it is notoriously the most difficult on his audio. So I did listen to this all the way through to make sure it worked. So let's cross our fingers and hope for the best.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, as we speak, I'm currently working on finishing the Shocker All Hail the King episode. And I do know that was from some time ago. But it will be posted very soon. If not today, then tomorrow at the latest. As you all know, I had to reset my PC and I lost a little bit more.
I didn't do it.
Include a few videos.
Damn it.
That were.
Come on. What are you doing, man?
Oh, man.
So it says it's playing.
What are you doing to me here? What are you doing?
It literally says it's playing. Listen to this stuff.
Be posted very soon. If not today, then tomorrow at the latest. As you all know, I had to reset my PC and I lost a little bit more than I thought I did. Including a few videos that were pretty much done. But if that episode doesn't get posted today, it will definitely go up tomorrow. Mainly in the game though, I've been focusing on Cloak and Dagger, one of my favorite new additions to the game. Don't get me wrong, they do have their weaknesses. Mainly the Dark Energy Blade, it kinda interrupts them quite a bit, which is really frustrating. And then Scrappers like Spitfire and Blade. You know, the ones that get a million turns before you even get a chance? That can easily mean doom for them. But they are very powerful with a lot of AoE attacking potential. And one move in particular, their Shot in the Dark, since it's available right away, can end up knocking out a full enemy team. Or at least get very close depending on what they have. First of all, for Cloak and Dagger, or CD for short, we were focusing on Exploit Delirium. But my next phase, of course, is to go into Finest Hour. Now, it's a very long list of potential team-ups for C&D. But for this video, I have three in mind. First up is going to be with Heimdall. Finest Hour pretty much begins and ends with him. He's going to be on the top of your list anytime that comes up. Pretty much if he gets to go before Cloak and Dagger, he's going to fully buff them up, and they may just take out the enemy team right then and there. First attack. The other thing I really like about Heimdall is the fact that he has Farsight, so most enemy attacks cannot be stealthy. This can help your protector protect C&D, therefore keeping them alive. So he's going to be a fantastic team up. Next up, we're going with someone we haven't used for quite some time, and that's Spiral. Why Spiral, you may ask?
Why Spiral?
Well, her macabre Fandango has rising up for all allies. The cool thing is with Dancing Queen, she'll actually counter with macabre Fandango. So pretty impressive. Plus, she does apply Breakdown with Dance Magic Dance. In other words, putting certain debuffs on the enemy team. Plus, she can cause Disoriented. And that's with her AoE, Fouet en Tournant. And I cannot pronounce that. But basically, she goes well with Cloak and Dagger. She'll help out their Exploit Attrition, Exploits Delirium, and their Finest Hour. So all in all, it should be a fantastic team up. And Spiral isn't a bad character at all. The only issue is I hate having multiple infiltrators. But hey, we've already done that with Enchantress and Morbius. Now the final team up is going to be with Nico. And let's just say this right away, Nico's an absolute beast. But of course, she's going to cause all sorts of dots. So plenty of exploit attrition. And with her magic buff on one ally, Kick-Ass grants an extra turn and rising up. So perfect to put on Cloak and Dagger. Honestly, it should be an exciting episode, and we'll have that for you early next week. As for this week, we're going to have that shocker All Hail the King, a Cloak and Dagger with Kurth video. Hopefully, we should cover Deathlocket, and then any other new releases that may happen. That should include MAA too, so if something new is released this week, we're going to try to have a video on that somehow. I have to figure out how to get my program back that I used to capture the screen again, but I'll work on that today. All in all, I'm having fun with both games, but I do have some issues with MAA too. They're just little complaints, so I'm not even going to go into it. I guess my main issue is having to log into too many phone games, and so I only do it about once a day. However, I am set to get Nova, and I'm pretty happy with that. I don't care about S rank. Maybe I'll go for it, maybe I won't. That's about it, though. As far as Cloak and Dagger, we'll probably get into Exploit Attrition later, and the team-ups just keep coming for them. So stay tuned to the channel, but as for this segment, that's going to be it for today. So I want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the hosts.
So, on those terms for... what's your name with the Grim Fandango? I just lost it.
Spiral.
So in the terms, Agent Arona says, it's French. No one can pronounce it. Regus, the French can.
And the Agent Anido says, I can.
Yeah, he's supposed to be doing a French-based version of what he does here with the MAA Arsenal.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
So yeah, we cannot, therefore we do not. So speaking of Anido, let's go ahead and get his going here. This is the MAA Arsenal.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Anado's MAA Arsenal, exclusively on the From the Helicarrier podcast. In this segment, I will try my best to come up with out-of-the-box hero and team builds, synergies, and uncover certain aspects of the game most tend to ignore. So, for today's episode, it's finally time we take a look at the long-awaited build, the Copycats. Now, when making this team, I wanted to heavily focus on synergy because I know a lot about these two characters in the game. So, when it came to pairing these two heroes, I had to make sure they were capable of handling a situation at any time while helping each other out with attacks and buffing themselves. Basically, she does what he does while he does what they do. Confused? Well, I guess it's time I introduce you to Hellcat and Taskmaster. Now, for a while, I've seen a lot of people run Hellcat with characters like Anti-Venom, Hybrid, Star-Lord, and even Lizard. But when it came to supporting her, Taskmaster had the best results. To begin, both these characters exploit Opportunity and Bleeding, two of the very select debuffs they can apply, so that's a great start. But in addition to that, Taskmaster also helps serve as a great buff supplier for Hellcat, increasing stats with morale boost from the inspiring EISO, and giving various buffs to his actions, turn the tables, and battle orders. Now, if you know Taskmaster, then you know I haven't even mentioned the best part of why he is an excellent choice to pair up with Patsy. When he is attacked, Taskmaster will gain the enemy's class power, as well as switching his actions. With that comes the amazing ability to give all his team members that same class power with his level 9 class training. Could you imagine Taskmaster being attacked by an infiltrator, then using his level 9, he can give everyone that infiltrator power, So now their attacks are stealthy and they also counterattacks. On top of that, the buff cannot be removed since it's a hero effect. This is amazing, since it helps Hellcat get away with doing almost anything from various classes. Overall, this team is very fun. Like I say in my intros, I really want to explore things most people wouldn't think of. Taskmaster is a hero who was so enjoyed by many when he was first released, then quietly got forgotten, even though he still has so much potential. I'm hoping this build will give him some more playability in the future, as he is probably one of the best supporting characters in the game. As always, my loadout for this team will be posted on the FTH Facebook page, so make sure you check it out and share it with your friends. Until next time, stay safe and happy hunting.
So that's very interesting, using Taskmaster essentially to boost Hellcat by giving her other class boosts. So I'm definitely going to go check that out as well. Let's see. Okay, so we had a From the Field, which we're about to get into, and it's from Agent Bedell. And he says, hey, here's just a submission. He recorded a piece of audio. And unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to listen to it. So let's cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Greetings from the Helicarrier. This is Agent Matt checking in with my From the Field report. For this week's report, I wanted to send in an audio segment because I want to get my voice more active in the FTH community, and because I want to share a special team-up I've created for our newest heroes, Cloak and Dagger. With their ability to apply and exploit numerous delirium effects, there's some good team-ups available for Cloak and Dagger that spring to mind. Morbius, Kurth, Dr. Voodoo, and maybe even characters like Moonstone and Beast. But like always, I want to explore a team-up that's more outside the box, and I think I've come up with a partner that's pretty good, Anti-Venom. There's four reasons I like to use Anti-Venom with Cloak and Dagger. First, just from a visual standpoint, they both have some of the most amazing animations in the game. They're both a real credit to the people who make the artwork from this game, and that's one reason I've kept playing after almost 4 years. And on that note, I really hope we get Mysterio as a recruitable character someday.
Yes.
Second, Cloak and Dagger's preemptive counter will apply Winded and Off Balance. These are two debuffs that Anti-Venom can exploit with his level 6 Crusade move. Finally, Cloak and Dagger will apply Purge on their level 1. We saw what happened when Angrier applied this to us in PvP when we were using the Mystic or the Lantern of Doom to prevent debuffs. We got rocked for a lot of damage with no way to prevent it. Anti-Venom's level 9 Cleansing applies Sterilize, which is going to remove all buffs and debuffs from the enemy. This makes him unique as the only character in this game so far that can manually trigger Purged. Now this will take some time to pull this combo off since the move starts cooled down, but once it's ready to go, you can inflict a ton of pain on the enemy. Throw the stealthy AA saw on his level 9 and you've got one sick twisted combo. On a follow-up, I can't wait to get Cloak and Dagger to level 15 so I can start using their Scrapper ability. I can't wait to see if Purge will trigger twice against an enemy using the Lantern or the Mystic, or against a character like Invisible Woman who can prevent debuffs with her shields. I'll leave you to contemplate that dark future in mind, agents, and hopefully I'll see you next week with some more team-ups. Agent Matt out.
So is any of these suggestions helping you out, Brian? I don't have Cloak and Dagger. I don't know.
A little bit, yeah. No, I like it. I need to play them a little bit more. Right now I've only got them at level 4, and you really don't get the great stuff until you get them to level 6 and unlock the third ability, because that's the one that kind of plays off of all the setup that you do with the level 2 attack. But no, this is great stuff. So
good. We glossed over PvP. There's not much to say there. You finished up in Adamantium. I came up fairly short. It was definitely, again, one of those days. I mentioned that on the last show that I wasn't quite feeling the push.
You made quite a run, though, in those last couple days. I got to say that because we recorded the Jerry Conway thing on Thursday right after PvP ended. And I was amazed how far you had gotten in just the couple days since the last FTH recording.
I had more time. I was able to focus some more on it for sure and give some things, some attention to it. But on game day itself, I really didn't. And so what I did fight, I won. And there was that moment. And I felt peace with it. That was the thing. It's like, I was happy with game day. It's like, you know, I will save up my CP. I'll wait the 90 days. I'll buy Cloak and Dagger. I'll get to hear all the great stuff about them. Because sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a disappointment.
Right.
But you know, I hear the great stuff about it. I get all the other toys and suits and whatnot. Sure. But I was pushing. I thought I might get close. The highest I got was about 1507, somewhere in there. And then I won my way to 1445. So, not quite that low. I mean, 1475 or something like that. But yeah, okay. Like I win and my ranking drops, and I win and my ranking drops. I'm like, ah, well, whatever. So I did. I played right up until it's time to start recording with Jerry. But so you got the Cloak and Dagger, and I'm very curious to see how this works.
And, yeah, they're fun. They're really. I think we are going to see a lot of Cloak and Dagger in PvP next season. So paying attention to the folks who email in and the folks who are in the FT, the lounge, the agents only lounge, and their comments about not only how to use Cloak and Dagger, but how to combat Cloak and Dagger. That's all going to be really, really valuable stuff. So you definitely want to pay attention to that.
And other people, actually, Travis Jones, Blazing Defender Report, also found on Giant Size Team Up Network. He actually made it into Adamantium. I'm not sure if it was his first time, but he did make a note to me saying, hey, you know, I mean, he shared his team with me. So there definitely were some builds that did a little bit better. But you know what? Here's what I was happy about. I stuck with my team the entire time, and I didn't feel like I had to change it up. I don't remember what I had on defense, but I used Electro and Spitfire. The entire time. I think I changed out a few different partners to get the Spitfire with Electro, but Electro stayed. But actually, no, I finished up with Electro Null because I actually don't feel like I have to use Null. I like using Null. When I'm getting told I have to, it's like, but Electro Null did it because you got the shock hits and you got the meteor strikes, and it was a lot of fun. So I was able to keep the team that I wanted going, and that's
cool. That's always a big plus. I love playing with Avalanche and all, and so I'm happy that you know, there was ways you could beef them up and do things to them to make them still viable in PvP. So totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, and my good friend John Lee Hart, he messaged me on game day. He was like, he was like 1556 or something, went into the last battle. It came out and his defensive loss had dropped him like to 1549. I'm sorry I'm laughing at you, John, because I feel your pain. I've cried those tears, man. But he was like, and there are definitely issues still with the system. But overall, I was more or less pleased with the situation, and I like carrying around this broken lightsaber. It looks really cool. Because that's my first thought as soon as I saw the art on this. I'm like, that's an upside down lightsaber that's not turned on.
Right.
It works really well. It's been my PVE. Well, of course, everything's PVE right now, but I equip it as soon as I get it so I don't forget what it was. Yep. I haven't equipped the suit. I don't even know if I've researched the suit, to be honest. I forgot because I have one of the E3 suits, so. But yeah, this upside down lightsaber, the witch's whatever it's called, is actually really, really good. And it's pretty nice. So if you haven't equipped it yet, you should. It's a great magic item. And it's going to go good with your Null Avalanche team because Null builds up with the magic.
Oh, right. Yeah, everything with magic. Yeah, good point. Have not even, like you said, haven't even tried it, and I need to. That's the thing, man. You get those, you get all that great loot from gold sales and PvP and spec ops, and then you forget to you forget to equip it. And if you forget to equip it right away, you can never remember what the name of it was or anything like that. And it, you know, part of it points to the way that got to mute something. There we go. It all points to the way that MAA sorts and stores your items. It would be really cool if it was like the, first in, first out, last in. So basically when you look at your item inventory, the most recent things you've gotten are there at the end. Or there's a way to say, all right, show me only the PvP reward items. Show me only the spec ops items, or show me all the sets. Let me choose a spec ops number and show me the set from that spec ops, and let me load it all at once. Right. I mean, all those things would be, there'd be so many really cool interface things they could do with this. And,
well, theoretically they could do, we don't know if it'd crash PvP if they did it for us. I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
But yes, I agree with you.
Spirit Blade, by the way, is the,
I see
the thing. So Yeah, it would be, like you said, it'd be nice if that, if they could do stuff like that. But in any case, I need to try equipping a lot of that stuff and trying it out.
And just for everybody's knowledge, it's called the Spirit Blade, as was told to me there. And it's an all enemies attack. It does between 490 and 613 damage, which is really low, but that's not what you use it for. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's customized to your agent level. It's a 2-round cooldown once you use it. It's a magic weapon. Ethereal Strike, which ignores avoidance and corporeal effects. Guaranteed hit, which we know is 100% chance to hit, usually. Mm-hmm. Ignores defense stats and penetrates shield statuses. So you're going to hit with this thing. Even though it's low, you're going to hit. Which means it'll apply Breakdown, a chance to cause biofeedback, dark void, death frost, radiation exposure, or soul fire. Also, Hexed. Attacks have a chance to backfire, and it drains energy.
This is the key one right here. Yep. Drained energy. Attack. You know all that stamina that people are loading their heroes out with? This is a great, you know, anytime you can reduce stamina. The Lantern of Doom is also great for doing that. Like the first item in the list of the Lantern of Doom, the Smothering Shadow.
Yes.
Also does, is that the one? No, there's something in there that does. It wasn't. It was an item I was using for PvP this last time. What the heck was it? Now I can't remember. It was another magic item that I enabled that another multifunction magic item. And the first thing on it is a stamina drain. And it's like firing that guy up is just fantastic, right? Like, yeah. Draining your opponent's stamina right off the bat.
What? On top of that,
it's dead. Wasn't the Luna C?
Luna C is a pretty good one.
Luna C is great. Another one that you frequently see in PvP for sure.
But not only does it drain the stamina, it reduces evasion, defense, those kind of things, and it restores health and stamina to you.
Right.
Knew that. So, right. And overall, I'm very happy. People are saying it goes good with the Soul Drainers team, which is on our Facebook page by Anado. It goes good with the Witchcraftery items, the Deathlock Fist. I've got to imagine it probably goes with the Horseman set as well. I mean, it's going to go with anything magic or anything draining very, very well.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. Wasn't signposted. Maybe it was the Ionic Devourer. I'll have to. Here we go. Now I can get into my PvP.
I totally need a meme of Luke Skywalker looking from the last movie, looking at the camera going, "You're holding it upside down." Nice. But it's cool.
That is cool. So, I'll tell you right here.
Hold on. Tell me.
Weapon is the Famine's Toll. So it's a multifunction. Famine's Toll is Privation. There we go. Yeah, so it's Famine's Toll. Let me just pull it up here in the wiki because I want to be able to talk about it. It's a quick action item. It's an all-enemy attack, and it causes Starving, Thirst, and Withered.
That's from the
Spec
Horseman.
Ops.
The Horseman, right?
No? The Spec Ops with... Is it Morbius? I can't remember. It was Spec Ops 16. But Thirst loses stamina every turn. And it causes how many rounds of that? Two rounds or no. I guess it doesn't say how many rounds it does. Oh, here we go. 3 rounds of Withered, which reduces damage by 10%. You can stack it up to 3 times. Thirst causes a loss of stamina every turn. It's a debuff. And that was having it, in PvP, having people drain their stamina was just fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm being visited by my son here. Hey, what's up?
Just the old god stuff.
Yeah, old god stuff came out today.
Yeah, I can't even open the
books. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that after I'm done recording this show.
In the wild. In the wild, you observe Master Ibbet.
Hearthstone talk.
Coaching his young cub.
That's right. Exactly.
Screw the old gods. We just want the new gods.
That's right. All right. So let's get to From the Field here and read the emails that folks have sent in. I'll start with this one from Agent Half Hill. Says, hello, Epic and Golden. It's just nice little abbreviations of our names. I've been dreaming about the upcoming Civil War Spec Ops. What would you think about a group boss this time?
Yes, please.
Group boss. I could sure use some more silver. Who could they do as a group boss? Do you think the Spec Ops could have us choosing sides to fight with either Cap or Tony? Also love that idea. Also, I love Platinum having a gold sale along with a sale on heroes. That really helps getting past heroes. I'm about to get my first worthy alt. Now I can join the ever-expanding club of agents who roll with the worthy in PvP defense. Thanks for the show. You guys have done a great job making a supportive community and a great game even more fun. Signed, Agent Half Hill. Well, let's talk about this first thing, because how cool would it be, instead of like a group boss like Ultron or Karn or folks like that, what if you chose as part of that, you know, like it was the strike teams thing where you choose to either side with Cap or side with Tony. And then your group boss was a set of heroes from the other side. So if you choose to side with Cap in that mission, you go up against Iron Man, War Machine, and Black Widow, for example.
Okay.
Or Underoos. I don't know. You know, any of the above. Or if you chose to side with Tony, then you go up against Captain America, Falcon, or... I think Scarlet Witch is on the Captain America side, if I remember correctly from the commercials.
That's correct. Ant-Man. Yeah. We know Ant-Man, Hawkeye.
We know Ant-Man. Oh, right. Hawkeye as well. So how cool would that be for like the group boss thing? You get the opposite group of heroes that you're going up against. And it's almost more like a heroic mission or heroic fight than a group boss fight. I think that would be such a blast.
Yeah, that yes, I agree with you. I think we should do General Ross maybe as a group boss, because he's the asshole who throws down the accords and says that we should, you know, he starts the whole Civil War. I'm just saying.
It's so, like Winter Soldier when we had Del Rusk.
Yes, yeah. Oh, he might make an appearance. Who knows?
Right.
He wasn't in the comics, but you know, right. They pull out some odd stuff like that sometimes.
The chat room is loving this idea of like a group boss that's, that's the other hero faction. I love it too, but it'll never happen. do you think the Spec Ops could have us choosing sides to fight with Capertone? Talked about that. I'm hoping that it's a strike team Spec Ops. It'd be so such a blast. And then talking about having the gold sale along with the sale for heroes. It's a good time to do that. It's, you know, 9 times out of 10, they do the gold sales and it's like, well, there's nothing I want to spend the gold on now, but you're always questioning, should I do it? Because is there going to be something that I want to spend gold on in 2 weeks and I'm going to have to pay full price for them? And having it kind of tie in to say, oh, you know, I need these heroes. I can buy them with gold. Great. Bring on the gold sale. I'll spend my money and do that and get a good deal on it in the process. So I love that idea.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm looking at Crossbones. I mean, there's a lot of great suggestions here. Crossbones is Hydra. He will never be an LVH. Right. You never say never, I'm just saying.
Right.
All right. Agent Night Owl writes in, hey, FDH, Agent Night Owl here. So Ghost Rider is now the next worthy. Then we have the Black Knight coming after him in Chapter 12. Do you think Chapter 12 will be like Season 1.12 and have just a big boss fight for each mission, like one final big battle with all the war? Oh, Jesus. Maybe. Maybe. He's got a point.
So
or
one
she,
big
I guess,
final battle with all the worthy, huh? So basically just like PvP.
Yeah. He goes, I think that'd be sick. I agree. We farmed 112.2 forever. Yeah. And just even getting to that chapter and locking it and realizing every battle is a boss battle was really cool. Dude, 9 bosses at one time when we first came up. I went, at least for me, and I'm sure you're probably saying, when we first came on that, we're like, what is going on? Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then instantly saying, oh, this is a great way to level characters. And if they did the same thing with 212, holy crap, that'd be fantastic. I'd love a new... Yeah. Like, you know, we've got the simulator, but the problem with the simulator is you run out of points on it so fast. So having it be 212, having it be another chapter like the one in chapter in season one, that'd be just so dang cool. And having the XP scaled up so that, make it happen. Do it. Love it.
Yeah, that's going to be... Yes, I agree. So let me get back to the email. Our brains are just going. It's like, ugh. Yeah. So also with season two coming to a close, probably by the end of 2016, what kind of new thing would you like to see in season three? Just that we have a season three would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to get the Mighty as the rewards for the chapters? Whew, that'd be cool. Yeah. I hope so. Anyway, keep doing what you do and fight on. I love that these things are alts that you win in the chapter plus the golden weapon, which nobody ever talks about the golden weapons, right? There's some good weapons that come out of these chapters, both golden and otherwise. There's some massively awesome weapons in this thing.
You know, they're awesome as you level up, right? I mean, they're fantastic to like use the golden Screaming Eagle and the, you know, you see all those old forum posts, old discussions about, oh yeah, as you're leveling, make sure you get the golden Screaming Eagle. Use that one.
Yeah.
So true. Yes. Totally true.
Yeah. So, one new thing you'd like to see in season three?
Ooh. That's a good question. Some new mechanic with the way seasons are done where, almost where it pulls from the dailies and you've got a new kind. So, you know, you've got your hard and your medium and your easy battles, right? Your blue, red, yellow. You've got your heroic fights. You've got your boss battles. It'd be cool to have another battle type that appears on your map that is kind of like what they do with the daily. You can only use tacticians in this one, but the reward is a sweet tactician item.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Lockjaw appears on your map. Okay, stick with me.
Okay. Here.
Lockjaw appears on your map. And, no, Lockjaw didn't do time travel. He just did space travel. You need a time traveling, a character could do
the
time travel.
The Flash appears on your map.
Yeah, right. Rip Hunter appears on your map. Yeah. Anyway, a time traveling character appears on your map. And takes you to a random mission from a spec ops, maybe even a random boss fight from a spec ops, including Kang would be perfect. Yeah. Yes. Okay. You get a Kang thing that randomly appears on your map and takes you to, or appears on your map and randomly takes you to a previous spec ops boss fight. You go through that and you have a chance to win that boss roulette, right? So like it pulls up the weapons from that spec ops and you get to play that roulette or try and win something from that roulette. That's what I'd like to see with season three.
Yeah, that'd be very, very, very cool.
I'm just full of great ideas today, aren't I? Play them. Hey, send me a...
We've said that many times. Play them. We're up for hire.
Let me get you my resume.
Yeah. We have contract stuff set up. We're just saying. All right. Read the next one.
Oh, yeah. It's my turn to read, isn't it? Agent Cal, I was going to make sure that wasn't an I. Yes, Agent Cal says, hello, Steve and Tony. Oh, yeah, there
I'm
you
Steve.
Go. No, you're not. We're both Steve. This is Agent Cal reporting in. I was really close to ending PvP in Adamantium, but couldn't play on the last day and ended up in Vibranium. I tried many strategies, and the one that worked for me was to use a Victor Mancha Winter Soldier team and a Protector Agent. I thought about using this letter to apologize to Agent Nawal FTH since I ended up defeating him twice during the PvP tournament, but then I remembered he had Angrier on defense, so...
Right?
For the Civil War spec op, I hope we'll get some ISOs for Winter Soldier and Ant-Man. I'm not very excited for the Black Panther costume, but we'll see how it turns out. See you later, agents. Signed, Agent Cal. That's Winter Soldier and Victor Mancha. Any team with Victor Mancha can be a brutal monster, right? But for the Civil War spec op, so alts for Winter Soldier and... I'm sorry, not alts. ISOs. For Winter Soldier and Ant-Man, that'd be cool, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And Falcon. I mean, Falcon needs a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get a Falcon alt that does, since we've already got the movie Falcon, basically, mm-hmm. it'd be cool to get a Falcon alt for his red and white comic book classic appearance. I think that would look really cool.
Yeah.
with the Red Wing on his
shoulder. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Be able to use Red Wing like Kitty Pryde uses the dragon.
There you go.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
So, absolutely.
All right, cool. Next up.
Agent Ashton, who we heard from before about This is Sparta. I just wanted to take a moment to write the show and say thank you. For the first time ever, I was competing for ADA on a game day. Unfortunately, I had an emergency at work and I ended up in Vibranium. Mm. I am not bitter or mad at all, given how much fun I was having at the end.
Yay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the best part.
I am relentlessly training my heroes in prep for next PvP and I eagerly awaiting its launch. And we'll pause there. Me too. I still only about maybe halfway through my 15s. Mm-hmm. So I've got a lot of training to go. And we did that whole Howard the Duck silver giveaway and that helped me train like nobody's business.
Oh yeah.
But I am out of silver again. I'm back to 115 every couple of days type of deal.
Uh-oh.
So at times it may feel as if this game or this podcast may be for nothing. However, that is not true. I have a wonderful and happy life, but like anyone else, some days are better than others. Thanks to you, our host, and to the rest of the community, I have a place to forget about life's problems from time to time, and I can laugh along with the podcast, watch Kingfisher on YouTube, and, of course, play the game. This healthy escapism helps me recharge and simply have a good time. Thank you for all the time you dedicate to this podcast. It's all the help you have given to me to make me a better player. I hope we have many more years with the game, and to our host, this is Sparta! Sincerely, yes. Brian, Agent Ashton. So
very cool. Well, thanks, Agent Ashton, for the kind words. And
I guess this is bad timing to say we're canceling everything. And
we're tired of all this stuff. We're going to go join Klotz in
and
retirement.
Doing nothing.
I hear it's time to start doing a Star Wars Commander podcast. So we're all over that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for that. You know, the standard tip that IBB gives is wait till later in the day, at least, to collect your stuff, because we know Spec Ops is coming.
Anytime.
It could easily be even from time from today through this weekend, because they're going to want to use it as promotion for the movie, too, I think, for not sure. just launching with the movie.
Right.
So,
and, you know, and kind of on that same note, make sure you do any battles today, tomorrow, you know, for the next few days. Pull in, you know, use your call an ally for help, your distress call. And then don't collect the little cell phone from them, the little walkie-talkie. Don't collect that from them so that just in case that's a task on the Spec Ops, it almost, you know, it's going to be something, right? It's either going to be go collect your walkie-talkies or collect 10 UISO or something. So...
always is.
Be prepared, like the Boy Scouts say, be prepared to have that kind of tucked in your belt for later.
Yep. You couldn't have said it better. So with that, here comes Mike.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes, on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents. This has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.